our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the King of all the princes of the earth. Amen. The reading out of the scriptures can be found in Exodus 1 through Exodus 2, verse 10, and the text can be found in Acts 7, verse 17 through 21. Exodus 1 through 2, verse 10, and the text in Acts 7, 17 through 21. But before we'll listen to the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 1 through 2, verse 10. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our many enemies and fight against us. So let them. So get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Sifra, and the other, the name of the other Puah, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. If it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the man's children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the man's children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she couldn't longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flax by the river brink. And her sister stood afar off to wit what could be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flax, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The second reading for the text this morning can be found in Acts chapter 7, verse 17 through 21. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abram, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Until here, let's pray together. O Lord, that it might please thee this very morning, thy day, to descend in our midst with thy Holy Spirit, to give us opening in thy word, to open our hearts for thee. O Lord, without thee we cannot do anything. We confess, Lord, that we many times are trying to go our own ways and our own directions after the lusts of our hearts. But Lord, this very morning we ask thee to be our ruler, to rule our hearts and our minds and our souls, that they might be lifted up unto thee, with Samuel to hear what thou hast to say unto us. O give it therefore to be a mouthpiece to the people. O Lord, direct our tongue, our heart, that it may be as a mouthpiece unto the people for thy glory, the glory of thee, O Father, O Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that thou would open thereto unto the scriptures. We have to confess with all thy people that many times we walk as in the clouds. But open our eyes this morning that we may see the wonders of thy truth, that we may behold thee, O Lord Jesus, in all thy beauty, in thy loving kindness, O thy beloved one of thy people. We bring before thee all the congregation, the younger ones and the older ones. We bring before thee all the afflicted ones, those who are afflicted from within, Lord, that thou would set them free in thee. The freedom, the boldness is only in thee. It's not a man. It's the opening in thee, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we confess, Lord, that we didn't and are not deserving it. If thou would pass by this very morning, what can I say and what can the people say? Only we will cry the more, have mercy upon us, like the blind Bartimaeus. Oh, we pray, Lord, that heart-humbling grace may be bestowed upon us, that we would be nothing, seeing thy fullness. Oh, we pray, remember all the churches around. Remember our dear brother and friend who's working here. Lord, we pray that thou would give him boldness not to listen to man, but to obey thee and thy word only, to rest in thee, O sovereign God, in thy word and gospel, and therefore bless him abundantly, Lord. Thou knowest he's young, but thou hast taught him from his youth. And we pray that thou would direct his feet, especially in this city, that thou would make his ministry blessed. We know, Lord, especially in a new group, in a new church, it's a threat for many around, but oh, that this church wouldn't be a threat, but a blessing, not only for the group itself, for the church, but also for those around us, that we may be just as a salt, with an influence, Lord, because thou art shining through us. Oh, we pray that thou would hear us in these dark days. We pray, especially today, here again, Lord, when in this aftermath of this week was such a lot of upheaval in the country. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou would comfort those who have to bury their dead. We pray, Lord, that thou would be gracious unto them. We pray that out of this evil may come forth good. But we pray also for the country, Lord, that there is a double standard, that 1.5 million children are aborted, and there is no weeping. O Lord, we pray that this country would really repent before thee and be saved, be brought back to their roots, to thee, to sovereign grace. O Lord, remember the government, the president, and all who are in charge of government. We pray for the state governor and all those who are in charge in the state. We pray, Lord, for this city. A city where we went through this morning remembering that just 150 years ago, when the Reverend Funerality came, it was a desert place. Thou hast given this people, this city, God-fearing people in the past. O Lord, remember thy covenant also today. We add thee things only for Christ's sake. Open thy word, and thy word is light. We ask it, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. A congregation this very morning, we will listen to the scriptures like they can be found in Acts 7, and I read the portion again. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abram, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, father's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. Congregation, in the first place, we'll see in this portion of scripture the judgment that was in the days of the exile, the judgment of God that was upon his people in the day of exile. Secondly, that in those days was born Moses, and what it meant, he was exceedingly fair. And if you listen to the Greek, it means, or you can explain, and I would translate that he was, and I'm not saying that he was exceedingly fair, doesn't mean that he wasn't exceeding fair. But if you look really to the scriptures, to the Greek language, you can translate it too. He was fair unto God. And I believe this was the Jewish explanation. He was fair unto God. Do you know what his mother and father saw in that child? That it was a child of God. He was fair to God. In the Hebrew it said he was tov, he was good. So he was fair to God. And therefore by faith they hid it, the child. They did it by faith. They believed the child had a purpose in those dark days. The second thing, how he was fair unto God. And then the third thing that they had to deliver it and cast it in the river. That's why I took the second portion of scripture. You see that the children had to be cast in the Nile, in the river. 90, and so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. And then you see 21, and when he was cast out, he was cast also in the river. What does this mean? They didn't hide him in a bush. They cast him too in the river. And what does this mean? And by casting him in the river, he was saved. But by faith, he was saved. We'll see this very morning what this has to say unto us today. The seed of Abram was 400. For 400 years, even more, in Egypt. And they grew. They multiplied. And let's say with easy words, they liked to be in that fertile place of Goshen very much. Perhaps they never thought about it to go back to the place of their destination, Canaan. They wanted to stay in Egypt. They multiplied, it said, and although they had sometimes difficult times, they had a good time in Egypt. And you know that when they were in the desert, they even longed to go back to Egypt. But congregation, what a very gracious God is the God of the people of Israel. When they are not hearing and not going by themselves, He is urging them to leave Egypt, the house of bondage. And how does He do, congregation? He allows punishment or judgment. You'll say to me, but minister, that's the battle between the two kingdoms on earth, the kingdom of God, the seed of the woman, and the seed of the serpent. And that's true. You see, the battle of those two kingdoms, Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and you see the people of Israel, the two kingdoms, the one with the King of Kings, Jesus, in the loins of the seed of Jacob, and the other with the seed of the woman. And we know, congregation, there will be an ongoing warfare between them always. But let's not look to that side. Why is the Lord allowing this judgment? And you know, the judgment was first that they had, the midwives had to put to death all the boys, and they didn't. The Lord was caring in a special sense. But later on, they had to throw, and every Egyptian was allowed, all the born boys of the Israelites, the power of the nation, the young man, into the river. I always thought about it, congregation, because I thought it would be wiser of the Pharaoh to throw all the women, the young girls, in the River Nile, isn't it? Then the people would die. But I believe that Satan had a purpose to put to death Christ in the loins of the man of Israel. That was his purpose. But if we look from another perspective, we ask, why is the Lord allowing such a judgment upon His people? We can always point to the opposite side and say, they are the adversaries. They are wrong. But why is the Lord allowing such things to happen in our lives? In the lives of the children of God? Can you tell me? Do you know why? To cherish them, to sanctify them, to bring them back to the place where they have to be. Canaan. Isn't the Lord doing this always in the days of Judges? When they went from the face of the Lord, He gave judgment, hunger, enemies, to bring them to repentance, to bring them back to God. Congregation, sometimes when you're in your personal life or afflicted, you're saying perhaps, why, Lord? Why those people? Do you know what we need to say before we say this? Why me, Lord? What's the purpose for my life? Why dost thou allow it? The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, thou wouldn't have any authority over me unless it's given by the Father to thee. What's the purpose? The purpose is to bring the people on their place, Canaan. And sometimes the Lord is using His ways, difficult ways, hard ways, painful ways. Now, if we look to the judgment, we see in those days, congregation, that the young children had to be put to death. I thought this week, when we heard all things in the United States, so many little children died in a bomb attack. And we are mourning with them, souls for an eternity. isn't it? And you can say this evil man, but what has it to say and to us, congregation? I saw a lot of mourning, but this week my heart was crying. You know why? I thought about the 1.5 million young babes in the mother's wombs cut apart with knives every year, and no mourning. We live in our days, congregation, in a double standard life. We have a selected feeling about evil. We have left the pathways of the Lord. Secondly, you see that the devil attacks always the church in its youth, the young babies, not the older people. Yes, they had to work in the bricks, heavy work, but heavy work is not evil. My grandfather worked heavy work, but he had the grace to be 103 years old. And his heavy work didn't do him any evil, congregation. The more they were afflicted, the more they grew. But the devil attacks always our youth, the strength of the congregation. The older people let him go, but the youth, the young man, especially the young man, I believe, because of the Messiah to come, the promises to the fathers. The children are always attacked, the future of the church. And we see that the Lord protected in a wondrous way those young boys by the midwives. The doctors of those ages were reliable. And we can question today our doctors too. And I say they have a double standard. They promised to save life. I had a young student in my days in the University of Groningen. He is now a minister in Holland, Koopmans. And he studied to be a doctor. And when he came at the end of his studies, he had to go to a clinic, a doctor for women. And he had to work in an abortion side of the hospital. And he refused to do any work with abortions. And why I say this, congregation, he said, one day I had a dream. And perhaps I shouldn't tell dreams, but this is important. He says, I saw that the medical level of the medical people in our land were living in a coffin. It's a death coffin, he says, and I had to leave. And I said to a young woman that she shouldn't perform or not allow any abortions, and I had to go and couldn't finish my doctor's studies, he said, because I wasn't faithful to the doctors in the hospital. What I want to say, the devil is always pointing toward youth. Why? In this case, Israel, especially because the Messiah had to be born. It's suffering of Christ here in Exodus 1. Punishment. But congregation, in those days, you see in chapter 2, and there went of Exodus, and there went a man to the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Verse 20, Exodus 7. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. what happened when the little child was born. And I even believe it happened earlier. You know what happened? She saw that little child, that it was fair for God. The Bible says sometimes that the mother is casting her children upon God from her womb. If there are mothers expecting congregation, if you ever were expecting, get your cast, your little ones, upon God. And you know, when the child was born, Moses, she saw, I believe, it was a child of God by faith. Can that happen? Yes. Perhaps you should never tell them, because the ways you have to go with such a child will be very afflicting sometimes. The Jewish explanation said, and I would agree with them, like, we should look more into the Jewish explanations of the old ages. Our fathers did it always, Calvin did it. They took the Jewish explanations of the scriptures. Why do you say this, minister? Because that was the church before the beginning of the Christian the time age. But what they say is, the mother saw that Moses had a special calling, even, she believed. Have you had it with one of your children when it was born that you believed this will be a child of God? Perhaps even I've had some mothers telling me that she believed it would be a servant of God, even. And she saw it was exceeding fair, says New Testament. But we can translate it, it was fair to God. It was tov in the Old Testament. It was a child of God. She believed promises concerning this child congregation in these dark days. What a difficult time to be expecting in those days, isn't it? Would it be a son or a daughter? Will it die? Will it be thrown in the water? And when the date was there, the due time was there, the child was born. What a scary time, isn't it? But there was faith in God. In the God of covenant. In the God of grace. You know what they did? They hid the child, says Hebrews. They hid the child by faith. There it is, faith. They had faith concerning the child, and therefore they hid the child. Difficult time. Some explanation said they digged a hole under the house. But what they did doesn't matter. They hid the child. Difficult time all the 3 months they digged, isn't it? When it cried. Mother! They had to take turns, I believe, day and night, that it wouldn't scream. Father and mother, Miriam, the children, taking times and turns to hide the child. And they did it by faith, as Hebrews. They believed God had a purpose for this child. They believed in the God of covenant, the God of promise. But a difficult time, congregation. A very difficult time. All when the morning was there, they were looking for the evening. And when the evening was there, they were looking for the morning. Day and night, they had no rest. Although they did it by faith, they had to hit the child. Congregation, I'm saying that this is what we need to do with our children. To hide them for the evil. If we have faith in God. In the education, in the family, because we have days that children are spiritually murdered. We have to hide them in the houses. It's a day, I believe, of judgment. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of afflictions of the church. Are our children hid in our families, in our houses, in our churches, on the catechism classes? Do we take turns as parents? Oh, I will say it's a difficult time to care for children. When there are so many attacks around, we need to do what we can. Christian schools, to be faithful to the promises of baptism. But we need to hide them, especially in our inner closets, by God, day and night. If we have faith for the next generation to come, congregation. They did it by faith. By faith. You see what I mean and what the Bible is saying here. But congregation, there came a time they couldn't. We read verse 3 in Exodus 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And verse 3, when she could not longer hide him, he had faith. And she hid him by faith, Hebrews. But when she could no longer hide him, I had an old man in church. And he said, do you know what's faith? I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll tell you what's faith. Faith is first me, then me and God, then God and me, and then God alone. When she couldn't longer hide him, when she couldn't longer protect her child, wondering, if you cannot longer protect your own child. I like to. And I like the more while my children are older and I know it by own experience to protect my children. I would fight for them as a lion. that congregation, there comes a time they couldn't longer hide and protect them. Mother, says the father of Moses, we should stop this. Mother, they struggled week after week. Mother, someone will deceive us. And hear the child, we can't live anymore like this. And do you know what happened, congregation? This child was cast upon God. And it had to be cast upon God again. There can come a time in your life that you cannot longer protect your children. That you did what you could. That you cannot longer protect your own business. That you did what you could. But that it's ended. It stopped. And do you know what you need to do? To surrender your whole thing to God. To cast all your cares upon God. And not only by mouth. What are your cares this morning? What are your kids? I don't say that perhaps you have no kids. But what are your kids, quote unquote? What face, said that old man, me? It starts normally with self-interest, congregation. How can I be saved from the wrath to come? And then me and God. I have such a desire or need. And perhaps God will answer me and it changes. It's God sovereign and me. But it has to be God alone. And congregation, listen. Don't tell me that you'll learn this in one day. This is a life lesson. Isn't it? I'm always trying, protecting my fingers, my thoughts, my words, influencing. But where is total surrender by grace? Total surrender to God, to the promises of God and His Word. That's faith. Congregation, I have really to tell you, I'm unexercised. My flesh, my mind, myself. Oh, how poorly exercised is this man on the pulpit in these things. Surrender to God. There's a text in the Bible, Psalm 17, cast your way upon the Lord. You know what I've learned? I first tried to carry my own things. And I'm not saying without faith. But when those loads are too heavy and I can't handle them anymore, God is there. They have to be too heavy. Congregation. That's grace. Too heavy. I can't handle it. I don't know how to deal with the congregation anymore. and I can't do a step. The reformation of the church congregation is not the work of man. It's a work of God. When Abram Kuyper went out of the church in 1889 in Amsterdam, starting, you know, it's today the CRC, he wanted to reform the church. And he went to the son-in-law of the Reverend Kolbrugge, Dr. Lütke, a minister also in Amsterdam. And he said, Lütke, what shall we do? You know what Lütke said? In accordance to Dr. Kolbrugge, do nothing. Preach the word. Surrender to God. It's a lesson hard to learn, brethren, especially in a new church start. Surrender to God. What shall we do? Reverend de Kock in 1834 went out of the church. And he asked the same Dr. Kolbrugge, what shall I do? Shall I stay or leave? And Kolbrugge said, stay. Have joy with your wife and preach the properties of God. Surrender. But it's even going deeper, congregation. It's even going deeper. What did they do? Did they go to a bush? Or did they care in another way and try to protect by other means the child? Did they went to Canaan or another country to hide the child? And I'm not saying it wouldn't be a possibility. The Lord Jesus himself went to Egypt when he was afflicted by Herod. But they didn't. What did they do? On a day you see mother making a basket. The inner side, slime, cement, mud, and the outside, pitch. The inner side and the outside, they made a little, children, we would say today, a little boat. But in the Bible, it has a special name. It said that they took for him an ark. And the word ark occurs three times in the Bible. In the first time, they see it here. This is the first time where the word ark is used. The second time is the ark of Noé. The same words. And the third time is the ark of covenant. Three words for the same. They took an ark. What's an ark? Oh, many people say it's just a boat. No, congregation. Do you know what the ark is in the Bible language? It's the type of Christ. They had faith, but they needed an ark to rest in. And they prepared the ark. You know that the ark was a type of Christ in nowhere. He saved his 8 souls in the ark as a sign or a symbol of Christ. A type. And they did it.
And do you know what they did? They cast out the child.
And I've said already, when you look to the sermon of Stephanus, he said in the first place there was a judgment that they had to cast out, the same word in the Greek, young children to the end they might not live. And then you see what Moses' parents did in 21. And he was cast out.
They put him under the same judgment that was bestowed upon them.
I wouldn't do it easily. For all the children were thrown in the water to drown them. And now Moses. What does it mean, congregation? That Moses was cast out. I started by saying that it was a judgment upon the Israelites that they were persecuted. And they could have said, yeah, but we don't deserve it. Why are we persecuted? We don't deserve it. We are the better people. Those are the evil ones. I've many times heard it. Many times. The opposite side is the bad guy, the evil one, the wrong person. Judgment. Why do they? You know what I believe, congregation? They accept judgment. Great wonder. If you accept judgment. Like the prodigal son, if it's not your father anymore or the devil, if it's not the opposite side or the evil side in church, but if I'm the cause of all things. I had this week catechism class and an old Christian in the congregation of Wisconsin. I said, you have to confess your sins, and then he interrupted me. He said, Minister, but if sins are made sins in your life by grace, you cannot but only confess. You will. He said, I was in the hospital and sins rose against me. He said that the whole room was full of sins against God, my sins, he said. And I had just one desire, to confess them to God, that I, he said, do you know what happened? Not only my sins, but the sins of the education of my children, the sins of my children, the sins of my church, the sins of my society. It was one sin in my life. He poured out his heart. He accepted. I tell what happened. He was in a Lutheran hospital, I think. I don't know. And perhaps you won't like it, but it happened. And I like it. And at the wall of the Lutheran hospital, there was a cross. And he saw the cross and he heard the gospel. It is finished. And God set him free. By Christ. Congregation. I'm not preaching conditionally. But Christ has a place
for sin-accepting sinners confessing to God. They threw him. They cast him out. They subdued to God in the Nile. But by faith, in the basket, no, in the ark. The ark as a symbol. Casted his child under the sinners in the river Nile. Therefore, God casted his son as a symbol, the ark, first in the water to carry the children in judgment, out of judgment. Christ was in the same judgment as you and me, without sin. That's faith. He has made sin that I would be righteousness in God. You see what happened. Surrender. Lord, do thou what thou wills with my child. But we believe in thee. Congregation, it's not easy. It's impossible to exercise faith. The same Kolbrheim always in a pity that is, we should do something, that it's translated here. But the same Kolbrheim said, do you know where faith is born? He says, in hell. That's true. In hell, faith is born in Christ. Surrender. Total surrender is only in the way of total conviction. Cut off. The gospel is only preached while it's not me or me and God or God and me, but when it's God alone. You can always know if a person really knows the gospel. Then he is unconditional. He doesn't speak nor in justification, nor in sanctification, nor in glorification of anything of man anymore. He only preaches the gospel. He doesn't want to hear anything of man's efforts. And minister, he is yet full of it. That's true. That's true. Oh, that's sadly true. But that's not satisfying his soul. You know what's satisfying his soul? God alone. The God of my salvation. Do you want to do a scramble of your nail together? With grace? It's spoiled. Therefore we preach the gospel as the righteousness of God, the protection of God, the care of God for careless people. Yeah, but minister, listen. They sent Miriam to look how it worked out. They didn't send Miriam to see if it worked out. They did send Miriam to see what God did. Because they did it by faith. We should go like Miriam today and look what God does, not what we do. There are all kinds of moral recovery movements in the United States, but one thing
I'm really hopeless with. There is no repentance in the United States. They have the promise keepers. I would like, and I'm not against this movement in a sense. Wait a moment. But I would like their name to be called promise breakers. Can you see what I mean? God is the only promise keeper. That's it, God alone. This faithfulness congregation today of God, not of man, they cast the child upon God. All their cares in the way of accepting judgment they deserved. Miriam stood and looked. And see, the Lord by His providence sent the princess. This is the last hour. Some people say they expressly laid the babe in the place where the princess bathed. I don't know. It's not scriptural. I don't know. I believe better that God cared, since they couldn't care anymore. God starting caring. Our difficulties are God's opportunities. Miriam, and there the princess came. Servants around. Hey, go and look. Babe. Perhaps she had not the same eyes as mother's eyes, but God directed her heart, and Moses started to cry, and she had compassion. I believe God had compassion through her. She took the child. Oh, one of the boys of the Hebrews. Oh, nice. God melted her heart. God was in control. Not the parents anymore. And she took it in her arms. Miriam came. She said, Princess, you need one to comfort it, to feed it. I know one. Shall I go? And again, God was in control. Although she was a child of the Pharaoh, she should be even hostile against the Hebrews. She said, yes, go. God is in control. And she knocked. She came home. She said, Mother! Mother! Come! There she went. The mother who casted all her cares, accepting judgment as a sinner before God, upon God and Christ, came as a wanderer out of their house. Yeah. Princess, can I do? Would you like to care for this child? I found it. I took it out of the water. Its name will be Moses. And I'll pay for you. And there she went. Just 24 hours ago, everyone had to be careful not to deceive the child, or I mean to say that there was a little baby. They had to care for their own cares. 24 hours ago. I'm not saying without faith. But now, congregation, the baby came in crying, and no one could hurt it. it could play later freely. Do you know what God does? God sets free. God sets free. Is this your experience? That God sets free when you never expect it anymore. When God cares, congregation, we don't need to care anymore. But minister, I want to do my own business. Go on. You lose it. Now? I hope so. For in eternity. God set it free in Christ Jesus. I thought, but it was misunderstanding, that I perhaps had the baptized child. So I took this portion of scripture. And when I heard it wasn't yet because there was another child just born and later on it will be baptized, I didn't change the text for this morning. I don't know why. We have all perhaps, as parents or friends or family, seen children baptized. Congregation, you have to care what you can. Hide them in your houses. Be careful with schooling. Do what you can. But I tell you, there comes a time you have to surrender. It's painful sometimes. But you only can surrender your children as a sinner before God. Lord, doest thou what thou willest. And he will take them in his care. Oh, when we have to care, congregation, how poor are we? It's going wrong there. I have to call. I have to warn. I have to say. I have to point. And I'm always struggling. Did I give the right things and answers? Minister, you will be. Your whole life, yes. That's what I say to my children. I say, children, I stay to be a father, even if I would be 100 and you 60. I'll exercise my duties. But there is something more. There is something deeper. Sometimes you can't speak, you can't handle. You can't hide them anymore. And under the shadow of your own hands, cast them upon God. Cast them upon God. Yeah, but minister, then I can cast them upon God and God will carry. Yeah, but I don't like this. Wait a moment. What a problem. When the little Moses, perhaps 6 years old, he was weaned, but they weaned their children very old for perhaps 6 years. They had time, 6 years for Christian education, that's all. And then they went to the palace of Pharaoh. What a day for a mother, isn't it? To go to a hostile environment. To humanistic teaching, 6 years old, to university of all mankind theories, 6 years old, and again, mother of Moses had to cast him upon God. That's Christian faith. That's faith, congregation, in exercise. Cast your burdens upon God. I had a man coming in my house. He said, "Do you know when you really cast, then it's out of your hands. If you don't cast, it's not out of your hands. So if it's yet in your hands, you didn't cast," he said. Cast your burdens upon God. This is the gospel this morning. Yeah, minister, that's easy. That's not easy. It's impossible, my man. Faith is a gift of God. But I may preach, God is ready. That's the gospel this morning. For all your cares, for all your sorrows, for all your burdens. He said it, cast it for me. He says it today. And then I may testify this morning that the Lord never disappointed me. I disappoint God. When I really got the privilege to cast my sins, my burdens, my questions, my cares, that old Christian mother is the last thing in one of my congregations came a man, and I had heard about his mother. She was a well-known Christian in Holland. And then he told about his conversion while he was young. He was wandering in the world, and he had a praying mother, and he lived in sin. And that's not a good example, this. Therefore, I don't say it. And you don't need it to be too converted. Listen. You don't need it to be converted. But every night his mother went out of bed. Every night. In the midst of the darkness, she went out of bed, and her husband said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying for X, my son." And 20 minutes later, she came in bed again, cold, and he says, "Always that boy, let him go, he's in the world." She said, "No, I can't." She casted it upon God. But a day, she went out of her bed again. And within a minute, she came in it. And her husband said, "What's going on?" She said, "Listen, man, he is or in heaven, or in hell, because I can't pray. He's out of my hands. He's in the hands of God." You know what happened? He told me himself. He was creeping in the fields, crying to God as a sinner. God had taken the cares of this mother. Therefore, I say unto you, congregation, you will easily say, me and God, God and me, God alone. This is a way of God, not of you. It's his work. That's the gospel. If a man is never cut off by the law, he is never set in the freedom of God in Christ. And I'm not saying the deepness and the sharpness of it. God is to do it very gentle sometimes. One of our fathers said that his justification was going, grace at it, that he laid from the one bed of roses, he was brought to the other bed of roses to rest upon Christ alone. So I'm not saying that it has always to be in utter desperation. But we have to lose it before God's congregation. When we go this afternoon having the Lord's Supper, did you lose it this week? Or did you try to find all kinds of things to have some luggage to go to the Lord's Supper? We're trying. I hope you lost all your luggage. Come as a hungry and thirsty soul to be satisfied by God alone. I know you struggle. I hope you lose the battle, young people, because He is a mighty fortress and a conqueror in warfare. Surrender to Him with all you have, all you can, all you are. He is my rock, and in Him is only righteousness. He is my reward, very great, and my shield. Amen. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy word, and we pray that this word may be applied to the souls of all here. Oh, remember them in mercy. Prepare us today to meet Thee in the signs and seals of covenant, to be our fortress, Lord, our reward and shield, our righteousness, holiness, and all we need to be in peace with Thee. We have nothing. All we ask it for Christ's sake only. Amen.